Ron, the last time you were here, we were four people, and now we're two.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, I mean, just temporarily, Justin and Planner, just gone for the week.
There's family issues?
No, everything's okay. But I do wonder whether maybe you wouldn't mind just replacing them permanently.
Well, I mean, if the pattern continues, the next time will be zero, and it will just be Ron as, and that'll be why. Ron, do you think you could have a conversation with yourself about WarioWare, get it together for
half hour? Yeah, that was stream of consciousness. Yeah, for sure.
It's just Wario jazz. I bet Wario's got
micro
a jazz.
Micro games you don't play.
I bet Wario's got a high concept jazz album in him that we could bring out sort of, oh God, what was Bruce Willis's Bruno? His jazz alter ego?
I was thinking more of Sun Ra situation, but
that would also work. What's Wario's fucking deal though? They were just like, here's a stinky Mario? That's not fair.
He likes onions.
This is a preview of what the rest of the episode's going to be like, folks. So if you like this, just a lot of like, why is he, and that mustache, and he farts? Who is this guy? It'll be that for about 30 minutes. So feel free to skip ahead. My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best microgame of the week.
My name is Ross Frostick, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Ron Funches, and I don't know how I got here, but I probably know the game of the week.
Russ has never gone immediately after me before.
Yeah,
this
it's weird.
This is the line. Welcome to the Besties, the show where we talk about the latest and greatest in video games. It's a book club for video games, and just by listening, you'll remember. Sorry, Russ, I did that, but I didn't do a good job with that.
It's okay.
Today we're talking about WarioWare, Get It Together, with our old pal Ron Funches, who I believe last time we had you on to talk about Cyberpunk 20 number. I forget what the number is.
Mm-hmm. You just bring me in for the big budget RPG.
Yes, this game is probably about conceptually as far as you can get. Well, you get, okay, in WarioWare Get It Together, you do get sucked into a video game. That's cyberpunk as hell. Mm-hmm. You don't get much more cyberpunk than that. Chris, tell us all about WarioWare Get It Together. And by Chris, I mean Russ. You two are interchangeable in my mind.
WarioWare Get Together, I'm not going to attempt it. WarioWare Get It Together is a Switch exclusive. It is the first WarioWare game on the Switch. It is a, you know, it's got a bunch of mini games in it, but as a twist, compared to other WarioWare games, you are controlling individual characters rather than sort of just doing these random video games, mini games throughout. So that's kind of like a weird twist. And we will explain it more, I think, after the break. Before we get into WarioWare Get It Together, Ron, you were here before, back in January, talking about Cyberpunk. You're back. I wanted to mention that you've got a lot going on, and I wanted to, at the top of the show, I know people usually bury this towards the end of the show, but at the top of the show, can we go down the list of things you've got going on right now? Because you are a busy man.
The things that we have kept you from doing by making you play WarioWare Get It Together for this episode of the Besties.
And I don't mind it, but yeah, I mean, it'll pump up my ego. What do I got going on?
At last I checked, you're a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
That is a brutal thing to say, Russ. That is, in any other context, last time I checked, you're a stand-up comedian.
It should be noted the last time
accurate.
I checked was last night. So
okay,
confirmed.
That's fine.
He was just doing a set last night.
Oh shit, hold
but
on.
A
Ron,
lot of
you
time people quit. Sometimes people quit. So I understand.
I'm gonna add to your list of accolades. You are the voice of King Shark on Harley Quinn.
Yes, the one and true King Shark. All other are just pretenders to the throne.
There are many now. There weren't when you started doing it. There were like no other King Sharks, and now there's like a handful.
That's how it goes when you start. When you knock it out of the park, when you do it well, people come in and they just try to ride on it. Before, it was just me and the one from the Flash show, but nobody was talking about him.
Well, we have one more accolade, and that is perhaps the most unexpected of the bunch. Ron, you are a professional wrestler.
Yeah, very vicious. Yeah, will be Friday the 17th. I will be having my first and possibly last professional wrestling match against my rival and most hated enemy and my ex-wife's favorite wrestler, Tony Deppen. And now, it's going to be on pay-per-view.
Ron, I think you and I are the same age. I'm 37. Are you also 37?
I'm 38.
You're 38. You've got me beat. Now, as a 37-year-old, I would be absolutely terrified to do anything physical anywhere. So talk me through why you think this is a good idea.
How are you? And I'm more curious about, like, your regimen. Like, how are you getting completely, like, yoked for this, getting jacked?
There is no real, it was not a good idea. I'm not going to say it's a good idea. It's not technically a good idea. I'm supposed to start shooting a television show 3 days later. So if something happens to me, I probably will get sued. It will be horrible. So it's not technically a good idea, but life is short. There's a lot of things going on in the world, and I want to be a pro wrestler. And this guy called, it wasn't like I planned it. He's the one slapped me in the face.
Sure.
He called me out. He's the one who took a Facebook message from my ex-wife and made a t-shirt out of it. So where I come from,
yeah,
you got to wrestle him.
And I'm not going to tell you your business, Ron, but this happens a lot. One time Triple H called me out and said some shit about my wife. But I knew that if you ignore the bully, he goes away.
Well, different tactics. Yeah.
Can you do that role from a bed, Ron? The upcoming TV role?
No, I don't think so. I think I gotta be active and moving around. So one way or other, I gotta get this over quick.
Okay.
So,
fingers crossed. Please.
And but also, it's just a dream for me. I'm going to be on the same show with people. I mean, I just grew up loving wrestling, still love wrestling. And I'm going to be on a show with people, heroes of mine, like Too Cold Scorpio and Minoru Suzuki and Nick Gage. And
hell yeah. You want to
check it out. It's on the Fight app on Friday. It's only like $13. So please, and it's up forever. So check it out.
That's today, the day this episode comes out. You must go. Okay. WarioWare. What's your relationship with WarioWare, Ron? I feel like that's a good starting point for this conversation, because WarioWare is very much its own thing.
It very much is, and I think it is definitely going to color how you feel about this newest game. I have a deep relationship with WarioWare. I've been around since the beginning with WarioWare. I played the GameCube versions. I played the Game Boy Advance version. That one probably being my favorite.
I think there were two, right? There were the regular one and then Twisted, which had the motion sensor thing in it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of been their whole hook for me. It's like usually they find something within, whether it was originally just the fact that they were micro games, and then using the touch for the WarioWare Touched, and then the movement for Twisted, and then just loving the characters. Always been a fan of 8-Bit and Mona, and just like really, I've always liked the series quite a bit.
It is kind of amazing that they've created like a whole side catalog of characters just for WarioWare. Like, it's like 16 people that
it's
like
a lot.
Always show up.
Yeah, and I don't think I realized how much I like knew about the roster until in this game I played through the whole story mode, and just like any time a character showed up, I'd be like, oh shit, I remember that dude. I haven't seen him in a while. I think my main exposure came through WarioWare DIY. Did you guys play that one? It was the DS one where you could make your own micro games. Like, nobody played it.
I missed that one.
Yeah, it was very story light, but the big thing was you could make your own games and then like share them via the internet. I think I still have my copy laying around, but that was a great one. But WarioWare, get it together. The new thing here is that the micro games you play through as, what, I mean, I think it's about 14 or 15 characters.
Somewhere around there.
something around there. And, you know, it is the it's the crew. It's Wario, Young Cricket, 8-Bit, 5-Bit, the whole Bit squad. And each one of them can move and do an action, essentially. And using those different sort of move sets, you play through the same sort of micro games. This is a terrible explanation, so I'm going to hand the baton off to one of the two of you who can do a better job of explaining how
Ron,
this
do you want to try?
Works.
You want me to?
Well, I think you pretty much nailed it. You take you for the first time, you have direct control over the characters of the micro games, and each character you have has a different trait similar to, I guess, like a fighting game or Overwatch. And you use some of them can move freely throughout the game. Some of them are like basically on a runner where they're moving back and forth independent of your movement. You can only stop them by pressing a button. And some of them can't move at all and have to grapple around. That seems to be the hook on this one.
Some of them suck.
Some of them
I don't
are
know
terrible.
How you guys feel, but some of them are just terrible.
Yeah.
Some of them are straight up ass.
Just I think to make this super explicit for folks who like, I'm about to cuss a lot. No, to make this explicit for like folks who can't really envision what we're talking about yet, because it is weird. And one of the mini games is like you have to turn like a hose dial, and it's like in the sign of a plus sign, right? And you have to rotate that to turn on the water in 3 seconds or whatever to start it. Maybe you're playing with Wario, who can fly around freely, and there he's basically like a mouse cursor. And you can just fly him right up to the dial and do a couple laps around it to turn it on, right? But then there's, I think 8-Bit is on a skateboard that just moves on its own, left to right, bouncing wall to wall. And the only thing you can do with him is shoot a yo-yo straight up in the air really fast. So if you do that same game with 8-Bit, now you have to time it so like you throw your yo-yo up to hit the knob to turn it, because you can't fly up there. And then, you know, there's another one that can't move at all and can only sort of shoot these discs in directions that you aim him. And so with him, like, he's not moving at all. You just have to aim at the knob and shoot it a few times to turn it, and that will accomplish the game. So it's like very almost always the same games. I think there's only a handful of them that can only be played by like certain characters by virtue of their different move sets or whatever. But the way that you complete it, whether it's pulling a sword out of a scabbard or squeezing toothpaste out of a tube, you have to do that in 14 different ways because of how many different characters there are, which is wild and very, I would say, a very steep learning curve, especially when you get into like taking on a batch of mini games with 5 characters of your choosing, who all have 5 different ways of like completing the challenges and stuff. Like it is much more to wrap your head around than just like, hey, every time you play this mini game, you know what button to press, how to move it. So it adds variety, but it is, I think, definitely the most complex of the WarioWare games that have come out to date.
Yeah, Ron, what is your take on the, because you're right, you mentioned earlier like that the earlier games were like single button or single tap, or you're just turning the, you know, turning your DS or whatever. This is a much more complex. What do you think about the like increase in complexity? Do you think that's the way to go or no?
Well, I'm going to go in and say that I guess the guy's name is 9-Volt. I forgot to that because we keep calling him Mr. 8-Volt.
Like, we're confusing 8-Bit.
Because it makes sense because he just plays games and lived in the Game Boy and he did all that, but it's his 9-Volt. And I don't like it at all.
Oh, no.
That's one thing and again, I feel like this is very much depends on how much you've played WarioWare, because I've seen a lot of people who haven't played it at all who are just like, oh, I love it. It's fun and it's silly and it's beautiful. It's very colorful. But I don't like to me, it doesn't add as much complexity as it adds frustration. Because some of the characters are just obscenely simple to do any of the movement to get them to where you need to go. And then it doesn't go from that to like middle. It goes from like that to like, okay, this is almost impossible to move with precision. But more than like the character thing to me, I think I just don't enjoy the direct control.
Yeah.
Like I preferred it And to me, it made the game seem much more variety, much when you could like, oh, this way I'm doing different things every time. But it seems like every game, no matter what the objective is, you're basically just moving your character towards it and trying to interact with it. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way I played through most of this game, I played through the entire story mode with my son, Henry, who's 4. And he does not, he still can't control a D-pad or a stick and press a button at the same time, but he can do one of them. So the way we played through most of it is through the single player story mode with me controlling the stick and him pressing the A button, which does all of the actions for all of the characters. And for, I would say, 90% of the characters and almost all of the mini games, it was a very, very fun way to play through the game. And we were just cracking up laughing the whole time. A lot of this game's humor and aesthetic for a toilet humor obsessed 4-year-old is the shit, no pun intended. But I was pretty much able to solo a lot of the challenges without really needing him to press a button and do the character's interactions. I could just fly up there with Wario and just, do what I needed to do to complete the mini game without needing, which is fun for the way that we played it, but also I think telling for, the fact that it doesn't really add a whole heck of a lot, that there are all these different sort of ways of doing things. And in fact, only is an annoyance for the handful of characters who are just useless, just not fun to play with at all.
And they also make you play as those characters because yes. They'll randomly, you're not just, I'm going to play you as Wario and that'll be it. They're going to randomly throw you other characters. And some of those characters will be oh fuck, I'm there's nothing I can do here. This fucking windmill is impossible.
Yeah.
I miss the days of thinking back to the original Wario where we're you'd get thrown 20 mini games in the course of 15 seconds. And that was okay. Cause they were all just tap A or, just dodge this thing. And they were so simple. And here it just, I don't know. I would rather shorter mini games that were more rapid fire than I got to figure out how to use the UFO guy again. I don't know. It just seems just a bad design decision on their part.
To me, it's also something less whimsical about when I was playing, because I still play the one on Game Boy Advance when I'm on flights. It's one of my favorite go-to flight games. And to me, it's just something whimsical about now I'm suddenly playing The Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm suddenly playing this instead of being oh no, I'm a character, one of their characters walking through this game. To me, that's a little less fun. I don't know if I'm alone on that.
You're 100% right. I think that's the best way that we could summarize this is I either found the mini games too easy, because you could just do, control them with the stick without having to do the character's actions, or really frustratingly difficult, right? Because the idea is that you have 3 seconds to do these games. They're micro games. They come at you really fast. So 9-volt is the name of the boy on the skateboard who can throw his yo-yo up. Think about that. He can only bounce left to right and throw his yo-yo up in the air. If you miss that shot once,
you're toast.
Because you are not going to have time to hit the wall and bounce and come back to where you want to be. So that's there is no way to bring that experience into parity with anything else in the game. So it's not about the micro games at that point. It's not there's the cool Zelda one where I'm playing Zelda for a second. It's shit, I'm Yo-Yo Boy. And that's not quite as great. Although mentioning Zelda, we would be remiss in saying that the Nintendo game remix challenges, the remix micro games are really good. They are very, very, very fun. The one where you have to hit the stasis cube in Zelda Breath of the Wild to knock it away. That's good stuff.
Yeah, those have always been the best ones. I just think that it's weird because I almost wanted them to be a little more safe with this.
Yeah.
So that I would have a WarioWare game that I love on Switch. The last one that came out on DS, 3DS, was called WarioWare Gold, I think. And it was a greatest hits of some of the mini games from Twisted, some of the mini games from Touch and whatever. And that was kind of what I wanted from this and not have them do this like completely different thing.
I completely agree with you. I would have been just happy with some type of upgraded port of gold. Because to me, the WarioWare franchise is always something that like it ties itself to whatever the gimmick of the new hardware is.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't something with the Switch that they could do. You can even, to me, it's telling that the setting for the game is basically VR. Mm-hmm. To me, it's as if they are wanting to make a VR micro games instead of what they had to make, which is like faux VR games.
Yeah. And I think the real shame is that there's a lot of really cool... There's a lot of really cool stuff in this game. There's a lot of really great modes in this game that had it been a more traditional WarioWare micro game experience, it would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. Like the... I think there's like a daily or weekly online challenge mode that is like ranked where you like have, you know, they set certain challenges, right? So like the challenge actually for the week that I played this to talk about it was a 9-volt based challenge, the yo-yo boy, which I was like, fuck. But it was basically like, it's going to start at the fastest speed and now, you know, do as many challenges as you can. You're online, you get one chance at it and, you know, see what kind of score you can put up on the leaderboards. Like, that's great. Like, that's what I want. I feel like out of this experience, and had it been a more sort of like just in general fun WarioWare game to play, like I think I'd be playing this game for a very long time. Did any of you play it like in any kind of local multiplayer setting? Because I'm wondering if it shines more as a like, you know, a party game where everybody has like one Joy-Con because you really only need the stick and a button. And then, you know, can play as all these weird different characters and, you know, compete.
Ron, did you? Games.
No, I had to be completely honest with you. I started this game up on my Twitch stream, Ron_Funches. Come on by, join the Funch Bunch. And I played it for about a half hour and just was like, I don't like this. I don't. this isn't what I wanted. And it's just basically as a guy who played a lot of WarioWare and just knew what I wanted. I was like, I wanted gold too. I wanted something there. I wanted to put fingers up the nose, not stuff my little character up the nose. I wanted, like, I just knew what I wanted and this wasn't it. And it's okay. And that's okay. I think it's always great for people to make swings and not give you exactly what you want. But I just knew from the get go. I made it about a half hour in and was like, I feel like I wasted the $60.
Darn. I tried it. It is not a game for my personal marital health. It would not go well. But there are some interesting modes that I could see if you were in like a dorm room setting or something like that. There's a mode where one person is doing a mini game and then the other players are fucking with that person as they do the mini game, where they'll like stretch the screen out or like cover parts of the screen. So that I think would maybe land a little bit better. But I do think a lot of people, as Ron mentioned, like a lot of people play WarioWare games solo. And I think solo, this is not an enjoyable experience for me. Like it's kind of miserable.
I played it in a very weird way, right? Like, I played it with my son, and I love finding anything.
It almost sounds like the ideal way.
I genuinely think it is, because it's like, the sense of humor, I don't want to, it's not a inherently puerile game. Like, it is genuinely very funny how strange these games are, and like the occasionally like hyper realistic grotesque human beings that appear in the background of them, like that is funny no matter what age you are. And so like that's great. I had a good time playing through the story, but I also like, I don't know, is a missed opportunity, I think, because the game, you mentioned the GameCube WarioWare, I played that multiplayer so much as a party game. That was so fun. Because you know, competing in micro games against somebody in real space, you know, hard to do now because of the global pandemic, but like that's a lot of fun. And I think that is an experience that could have been great on Switch, but I don't know what kind of staying power it's going to have if it's not, you know, inherently a super fun game to play. So I don't know. That's a weird endorsement. I enjoyed it, but I'm also never going to play it again, I don't think. So
I think at the heart of it, there's just a very enjoyable, pretty, stylish, like just colorful game. But I think you're just always asking for trouble when you're like, well, when you give people characters to compare and some of them are just inherently less than, you're always going to be like, well, that sucks. Why do I have to be this person?
Yeah.
It's never going to be like, oh, cool. I like this. I like that. Unless you're giving them extras.
Mm-hmm.
But with these, they're taking away from some of the characters to make them different. And I think that's just a fundamental design flaw.
There's one character that they don't move, but they astral project. They have like a ghost that flies around, and then whenever you press the button, they jump to where their ghost is and send out like a little shockwave. That is so wildly different from like any other character, but Henry was like obsessed with this character because she was a mom. And so anytime like we would get to draft our characters before going into like a story mode level, he'd be like, and get that, and get the mom. And every time I'd be like, please, God, please, no, please, not the mom, please. But yeah, you do have a choice some of the time who you bring into things. So yeah,
cool.
I think we've sufficiently discussed WarioWare.
I think we have too. After the break, I think we're going to talk about some more anticipated holiday games, maybe some of Ron's picks if he has anything that jumps to mind. And we've got some reader mail. But stay tuned.
And some great, there's some riddles. There's trivia.
Oh my God.
We're going to have a great
prepare
time.
At all.
There's not really riddles in trivia. Ron, I didn't want you to think.
Like, oh, I was ready.
Well, I'll try to, now I'll panic and come up with some riddles and trivia for you.
Okay, so Ron, we've talked about WarioWare, a game you didn't super like. I want to talk about games that either you are currently enjoying or you are currently very excited to play.
Sure. I'll give you two, and you tell me where you want to start. I just completed and loved Psychonauts 2, and I have just started Deathloop.
So we talked about Psychonauts 2, and the audience was kind of split. We were kind of split on how we felt about it. I think the general consensus, like as a game feel thing, not quite. But I stuck with it and actually went and finished it as well. And I thought narratively, it's one of the strongest games of the year by far. It really was a very moving story. I don't know what your take was.
I absolutely agree with you. It's a beautiful game, especially if you make it all the way through the story. And I mean, I guess this is a tall ask, but Psychonauts 1 was one of my favorite games as a teen. I just liked Tim Schafer. I liked the storytelling that they do. And so their ability to completely wrap this story up and have it all kind of make sense and all of it tied to the first game, but also you don't need to have played the first game, and a lot of it ties to the VR game
as that's
well.
That's wild to me.
And for them to pull off a full story, which is something, I mean, most games can't land the one story.
Right.
And for it to be so moving and like, as well, I think it's just a beautiful way to talk about and deal with mental health, to gamify some of these aspects and to look at things that sometimes we think is such big deals and such. Also sometimes so that we're the only ones dealing with these things, and for them to be like, oh no, doubt, bad ideas, like things in your head that everybody has them, and they're basically just little enemies in your head that you can defeat. And I think that's such an that alone is an amazing thing to try to a message to give to people. So it's definitely, I mean, right now it's my second favorite game of the year. So.
Oh wow.
I loved it. I love the platforming. I know it's more of an old school style, but I haven't seen that in a while.
No, it's definitely like a Banjo Kazooie or even like the original Psychonauts vibe.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, there's not much control. There's nothing else really to compare it to because they're not. I mean, it's got real Blinks the Time Sweeper energy. what's your game of the year, Ron? If you don't mind asking.
Right now, we know things will always change, but right now it would be Resident Evil Village.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's
definitely up there for me. Capcom's had a hell of a year. I don't know if you got into Monster Hunter Rise. That was a great game, and I've been playing through Ace Attorney, also really good.
Yeah.
It's really one of the strongest years for them.
We are talking, I just realized that Deathloop is now out. We're going to be talking about it next week, but we won't have you next week. Ron, do you want to give people a break them off a taste of your Deathloop impressions?
So far, I'm very much into it. It's a beautiful game. It seems to be both kind of straightforward, but also very weird and complex. And I still don't quite have an idea what's going on.
Yep.
But I love the voice acting. So I think it possibly has the best voice acting of any game this year. Maybe Psychonauts being my second favorite there as well. But it's so far it's hitting on all cylinders for me. And then also just as a black man, as a person of color, like just to have this very strong black protagonist character who's funny and enjoyable and not in any way stereotypical that I've seen so far. It's just kind of beautiful to see. You don't see that often in games. So it's something I'd like to definitely... It gives it extra points in my book.
Yeah, sure.
So,
well, it's actually two black leads, which is even better. I mean, you can play as Juliana, who will like invade in multiplayer and do some, like, I was doing that last night. Super interesting as well. But you're right. The writing is spectacular. The characterizations are really, really strong. I'm really blown away by just how much effort they put in to the just overall narrative of it. And I think Arcane... this is Arcane Lyon that made this one, but Arcane as a studio in general obviously puts a huge priority on that stuff.
Just a quick point, like I the time travel mechanic in the returning back to the like same start point and learning a little bit, it's been like we've seen that in so many games recently, and I really like. But to me, where it succeeds, where a game like Returnal was a little more. Difficult for me to enjoy. I liked Returnal, but I did not complete Returnal, and it was just like, because to me, like, you get into these long runs and like to die in that game was such a setback.
Yeah.
And with Deathloop, it isn't at all. It's just, if anything, it becomes part of the narrative. So it never feels to me like when you, because it still has that focus of just a single player narrative game. But as that mechanic in, it's not like a roguelike at all, and I thought it was.
Yeah, it's very welcoming, I think, to people that maybe might feel intimidated by that. You always feel like you're making progress and stuff in Deathloop. I know we're going to go like super in depth with it next week.
There's so much. This game is bonkers. There's going to be a lot to talk about. So that is what we're circling back to next week.
Ron, just regarding the release list. For the rest of the year, is there anything else that you're like super, super pumped about?
Nothing that comes off the top of my head, really. I'm just really I'm interested in Halo Infinite and the fact that it's actually going to come out this year.
Maybe.
And that it's going to have a single player this year.
Maybe.
And I know a lot of people seem to be upset about the Forge and the multiplayer, single player not being there. And that is a little upsetting. That's because, that's kind of it takes. How I got my son into video games when he was younger. We'd play, do the campaign together in co-op and just have so much fun together. And it's how I would mark his progress because I'd have to carry him. And then one day I was just not paying much attention and looked around and everybody was murdered. And I was like, oh, he doesn't need me anymore. It was a beautiful day. But it looks like it's going to be so much fun. Splitgate has gotten me back in a Halo mode. So I'm very excited for Halo Infinite.
Yeah, I think I'm too intimidated to try Splitgate. It seems like I would get smoked pretty quickly.
No, you're wrong.
No?
You're so wrong. It's not, people aren't, I think if anything, you might do better because you're a pretty smart person.
Oh, thank you.
And a lot of people in there still just treat it like a regular shooter, using the portals. So,
what is this game?
It's more of a thinking man shooter. It's really fun.
I've never even heard of this game. I'm now looking at it. It looks fun. Hit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's blowing up. Oh,
Splitgate's so fun. Please play with me. I should have mentioned that game. I've been playing that game every day. It's very simple. It's Portal mixed with Halo. It's called Splitgate, but if you play it on Twitch and try to launch it in your OBS, it comes up as Portal Wars, which just tells you everything right there.
That's great.
Don't tell Val.
We got you.
Do we want to go through this reader mail?
Yeah, let's go through some quick reader mail. I asked the folks on Twitter, the Besties Pod on Twitter, what WarioWare games don't exist but should exist? And I specifically was asking for mini games. So people sent in some possible additions to the micro mini game canon. This one comes from Matt Lescodi. You have 3 seconds to move an enormous pen back and forth to forge Wario/Waluigi's parents' signature on a school permission slip. If you fail, the bus drives away, leaving a sobbing child Wario behind.
That one makes me sad. I'm sad for... I don't want to see sad child Wario.
I mean, I feel like a lot of them end with someone crying, so
I guess
not
that's a fair
that much
point.
Of departure.
Yeah, I like it.
We've got one from Games and Culture. Your prompt is block, and a skunk is fixing to shoot its bad smell at a couple getting married. You are a groomsman holding a cast iron skillet, and you have to leap from the bridal party to block the stream from hitting the newlyweds. Piranha Plant, one of the bridesmaids, cries if you miss. I guess crying is a theme here.
Yeah, I think that's... If you fail, people cry. That's just WarioWare 101.
It does sound like a fun wedding, though.
Yeah, sure. Man, just make these in WarioWare DIY. It breaks my heart you guys didn't play WarioWare DIY.
Are these all feasible in DIY?
Anything is feasible. Look up some videos of the shit that people made in WarioWare DIY. It is completely bananas. I'm looking at... it's like, you can buy this game still. It's probably it's probably quite expensive to get it on like eBay or something like that. Oh, no, it's like $20.
Get it on digital.
Oh, yeah, you can probably get it on digital somewhere, too.
We have one more minigame. This comes from Konami Salami.
It's been a while since I've said this. That's a good username.
Yeah, it's a good one. The prompt here is swipe. They show you a person, and you have to swipe left or right on a Tinder-like interface until you swipe to the right target. Then it shows the target on a date with an alligator or something, and their lady in the tramping some spaghetti.
That's good. A bit normative. Who's to say that I don't want to end up with an alligator? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Think of a couple?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Okay, I like the wedding one. I had one based on that where it's basically, I guess your prompt would be stop it. And you see Mario or Bowser. You see Bowser and the princess about to get married. And are Mario and the princess about to get married, and you're Wario pounding on glass trying to get the marriage to stop, and you got to break through the glass, and then you steal the bride. I think that would be fun.
A graduate situation. I love that.
Yes, exactly. And the other one would just, the prompt would be like, make it rain, and you're just like a stripping Wario, and he's pole dancing for all the other characters in the game, and they're uncomfortable, but they're throwing money.
How good would that one be in this game where you're like a little Wario smashing into big pole dancing Wario to make his terrible overalls go fly. Hey, anybody been playing anything else? I feel like we've been lightly dropping our honorable mentions throughout this entire episode. Yeah. I can say I played through all of Forgotten City in about 2 sittings.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a good-ass game.
Ron, have you played that?
No, but people have been putting it on their Game of the Year list, and I don't... Or Game of the Half Year list.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Tell me about it.
I don't know. We talked about it at length. I mean, that was our subject for last week's episode. It is similar to Deathloop in a lot of ways. It's you're going through this loop in a city where like 20 people live. It's like a sort of ancient Greco-Roman civilization. And if anybody sins, these golden statues come to life and kill everyone. But also you can go through this time portal to restart the loop. And it's all about figuring out what is causing this and how to stop it and how to stop. Somebody is supposed to sin and end the world, At the end of this day, and you have to figure out who it is and try and stop that too. But you keep every item. It's unique in that you don't lose all your inventory when you go through the gate. So you can just like run up to somebody's house and steal all of their money. And then the statues come to life like, what the fuck are you doing? But then you jump through the portal and you're like, okay, now I'm starting this loop over, but I got, you know, fat sack of cash.
Oh, so they have to chase you and get you and
kill
you?
Yeah, basically.
Well, that sounds fun.
But it's cool.
What's it on?
I played it on Steam. I don't know what else it's on.
Yeah, it's on PlayStation. It's on Xbox. It's pretty much all consoles. Ooh, I think they've got a Switch version coming.
The Steam Deck. Looks like that'd be a good Steam Deck
game. I think so too. It's I finished it very quickly, and I think probably it's not the longest thing in the world, but. And I don't know if, like where it'll land on my GOTY list, but there have been so many games doing this, and this is, I think, one of the best executions of it, of that like Groundhog Day loop idea. Just the story.
Aren't there still a couple more coming out that do this?
Is there another one?
I don't know.
Overboard was one of them. There's been, obviously, Hades last year was like a huge one. I mean, makes sense because people, you can basically like refine the like, very small map that you've had and make sure it's like incredibly perfect. So you're not spending, you know, tons of time developing 12 levels or whatever it is. You're making like four amazing levels.
I do like that. I like that as it seems almost like a reaction to how we were going in such a big open world phase.
Yeah.
Where every game had to be so big and so drawn out and almost very empty.
Yeah,
there's just like a lot of extra that didn't need to be there, and these feel much more focused. Deathloop, Forgotten City all feel like, oh, this is everything that needs to be there.
Plant voiced some concerns about like some of the story beats falling pretty flat that I do agree with. But I don't know, on the whole, I obviously I enjoyed it. I played it and finish it over two sittings. Like, I was thinking about it between those sittings, like, if I go and get that, then I bet I can do this in the next loop. Like, it's one of them. It's good.
It's super dope. Highly recommend it.
I've gotten back into, like, Game Boy modding stuff. I put together, like, a backlit Game Boy Color and a metal...
Will you make me one?
Yeah, sure, if you want. If you tell me what kind of... thing you want. I have a lot.
No, I want it to be a surprise.
A surprise? Okay. I'll think about how to really knock your socks off with it. But I've been looking for I did a Game Boy Advance that I'm really happy with, and I was looking for something to play on it. And I started playing Final Fantasy V, which I had only sort of dipped my toe into. That's the one that like introduced the like job system that you can kind of like multi-class, and it has like quite a bit of mechanical like progression complexity for a early Final Fantasy game, and I'm really enjoying it. That game is buck wild. The localization on that game is like Earthbound level silly, which is weird to see in like a high fantasy sort of Final Fantasy setting where there's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle references and like just literally constant puns, like groan-worthy, some real stinkers nonstop, but it's really kind of fun to see that in the... In the context of a Final Fantasy game, so
I don't know how you feel, but I feel like the Game Boy Advance is back. People are all about Game Boy games right now.
Yeah,
I think it's the hot thing right now.
I think a lot of it is people psyched about Metroid Dread, and they're not really being a good way to play games like Metroid Fusion and Metroid Zero Mission without a GBA, which seems crazy to me. But
I've been getting Chinese knockoffs and then making my own little systems, and I've been enjoying it. I call it my projects. I gave one to Morgan Murphy, and I'm going to give one to Bobby Moynihan. I'm sorry for name dropping, but I thought those were fun names.
Well, you get the ones that they sell off Amazon or whatever, the Amber Neck and stuff like that.
Yeah,
those are good.
Because I wanted an analog one. I was so mad that I missed the pre-order. And then I saw this one. I saw how good the reviews were. And then I bought one for myself. And the screen was beautiful.
Yeah.
And everything to get it working was fairly easy. And so I was like, what was I waiting for? I love this. So I bought two more. And then just was like, I'm going to eventually just give these as gifts.
I think it's the RG351M. It's weird. We don't really. I mean, you know, the subject of emulation is a charged one. It's a sticky one. But I played through Final Fantasy VIII on a 351 M for the first time, like to the credits. And yeah, this is a cool little device.
Yeah, that's what made me think of it. That's I've been playing Metroid Fusion mm-hmm. online. I use the 351V. Have you seen that?
Yeah,
one?
the tall boy. Like yeah,
the Game Boy one. Yeah, so that makes me happy.
Yeah, I also that's scratching the itch now that quick news segment. They delayed the fucking Analog Pocket again, which is I know you have one pre-ordered, right, Russ?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's like all I
it's
all.
It's going to come out on the same day as the Steam Deck at this point, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, they delayed it till December.
It was like my dumb, I'm going to buy this piece of hardware purchase that I don't need. And now I've got two of those coming on the same fucking day.
Yeah. I've also like, you know, getting into modding, it's like really satisfying to make these Game Boys. But I am doing it to, I think, bridge the gap until this thing comes out. So now it's like, oh shit, okay, another one? I guess I'll backlight a Game Boy Pocket or something like that. It's not coming until December. Anybody playing anything else?
No, that's about it for me. I've been spending a lot of time with Deathloop just to get ramped up for next week.
I feel like I gave you a lot of games. I gave you Splitgate. I gave you Psychonauts. I gave you Deathloop and WarioWare. What, I mean, if I threw more games on there, that feels like I'm going to be an irresponsible adult man.
That's true. We've already discussed how many responsibilities you have.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, well then, just to wrap up the games we discussed this episode, obviously, WarioWare, Get It Together for the Nintendo Switch, Splitgate, a Portal Meets Halo-style shooter, Psychonauts 2, Deathloop, which we're going to be discussing at length next week, The Forgotten City, Final Fantasy V, Am I Forgetting Anything? And we discussed the Ambernic RG351 series of emulation devices. And, oh yeah, I guess Metroid Fusion.
Very busy.
But ooh, is anyone worried that Dread will be bad because WarioWare is not that good?
I didn't enjoy the I didn't enjoy the Metroid 2 remake that came out on 3DS.
I actually did. I really
liked
that game.
That's a divisive one, I know. So like I'm not feeling
the more divisive take. I did not like Metroid Fusion very much.
That's bananas.
I can see it. I think it's too directed, and the writing is not very good. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite, and I love Metroid games, but that is not my favorite of them.
Okay.
Playing through it again now, I can see those points, but I think it's so pretty, and
it's
like
gorgeous.
It
is gorgeous.
I love it, but I can it's not the most well-written game, and it definitely holds your hand and pulls you down the hallway.
Ron, I do have one recommendation for you. If you haven't played the fan-made Another Metroid 2 remake, AM2R, it is an incredible feat that folks made their own Metroid 2 remake on their own indie, you know, folks, and it's for free. It's online. You can just download it on any works on PC. Spectacular, totally re-envisioned version of Metroid 2. Really recommend it.
I'll check it out. I'll check out Forgotten City.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Ron, is there anything else you wanted to shout out, plug? You mentioned your Twitch channel earlier. You could shout that out again.
Yeah, it's twitch.tv, Ron_Funches. If you have children that are of the age, there's a new season of Trollstopia on Hulu and Peacock. And then there's just a couple other animated series that I have coming out by the end of the month. One is also for... I guess it's for more preteens and kids. It's called Tell Dark and Grim on Netflix. Basically about Grimm's fairy tale with, but using the very fun, violent versions. And then I'm very excited to be a part of Cake on FX, which is this mix of different short form shows all together, and there's this comic strip I've been a big fan of for years called Poorly Drawn Lines, and it's just very funny, very smart, and I'm playing a cute little bird named Kevin who has a lot of feelings about the world, and it's got a great cast, and I hope people check that out. That'll be on FX and Hulu.
That's so much stuff. Like, we just do like a handful of podcasts a week, and I get sweaty from that. But you are also doing that, but also all these other things.
Yeah, I forgot my podcast getting better. I do a fair amount of things, all of them, but I don't focus a lot on them. So
that's good. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. We're at the Besties Pod on Twitter. If you could leave a review for us, that would be awesome. You could join the pantheon of review heroes like Jabroni Prime, Lizzie Rue, Clatter Kevin Buck, Jersh Dingus, and Thanks Puppy, who are all real people who left real reviews of our show. I say that, real people. I have no, these could be bots that we paid.
That's true.
You know, $15,000 for. Yeah, it could be, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, usually they have little numbers at the end of their name, so these are good bots.
Good,
these are expensive
point, yeah.
Bots.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other business that we usually do here. Thank you all for listening.
Also, it's like it seems like you. This is a new podcast for you.
Yeah. Thank you to our editor Rachel. Thank you to just thank you to the. You know, I'm just putting that energy out there into the world and. Come join us next week for Deathloop. Some of us will be back, I'm pretty sure. Thank you, Ron, again for joining us.
Oh, a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Griffin and Russ.
It's always a treat.
But we need to end it with the actual way the show ends.
And that's
remember?
It. And join us next time for the Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends play the world's best games?
Close enough.
Besties!